What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your good brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And, you know, appreciate y'all all pulling up. You know, we do what we do. I'm back in the saddle. I'm pretty sure y'all can hear the strength in my voice. I'm pretty sure, y'all realize y'all was rocking with me and my brother was trying to put it together for like two whole months of just system being poisoned, not realizing it. So I'm just thankful to be here, thankful to have an opportunity to sit down and talk to you good folk. And oh, by the way, you can't leave. You know, Sonny from Box Tell You can't leave. You're here. You're not going nowhere. Alright. So you know, it's like I said, first and foremost, let's let everybody know where we are. This is Philly Fridays, right? So, and y'all know we are rocking live on the 215 North Fells, for reals, Fed Life Station at fedlifestation.com. And y'all can also catch us if you want to, you know, catch the stream on a podcast network, the True Story Podcast Network, the True Story Podcast Network. You can catch all of the podcast that I do, you know, Suave does, and keep up with what's popping. I know I have to put more joints in there. Just give me a second, y'all. I've been playing catch up lately, but yeah, it's been an interesting time. And oh, by the way, you know, it's Halloween. You know what I'm saying? It's Halloween. And I know for a lot of y'all, this is your favorite holiday of the year. And I'll be honest with y'all, I can't really grasp that concept. I'm God fearing. I won't even necessarily say I'm God fearing, but I have a strong relationship with God. And so, you know, the whole notion of Halloween and ghosts and goblins and all that other stuff, yeah, it's just something that doesn't tickle my fancy too much. But hey, listen, you like it? I love it. Well, you know how that goes. But I thought this was hilarious. And shout out to this brother Ace Vane, who does the voiceovers, usually cartoon voiceovers, right? But he's actually started to expand his brand a little bit, and you can catch him on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the different streaming, even TikTok. So you can catch him streaming all over the place. This dude is wild. So I want y'all to check out what he has going on, man. I want y'all to hear this. I want y'all to check this out. This is Ace Vane. This is wild.
What I the milk sack machines always broke.
Why you don't ask your baby daddy that?
Yeah. Your baby daddy. He broke. He don't work. I thought we just keeping it real, keeping it relatable. You know, bye, 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 bye. You loving him. And by the way, bitch, what's a milkshake machine? Huh? We ain't just gonna skim past that. I heard that dumbass lisp. Sound like a fat ass snake. Quit worrying about the milkshake machine and worry about your SHs. Sit your fat ass down. You need no milkshake, no way.
What I.
Yo, man, Ace Vane is undefeated. And when I say the man is undefeated, bro, yo, that brother is wild turkey, man. He is wild turkey. By the way, and I should have led it a little better. That was a Ronald McDonald's clip that he hijacked and did the voiceover for. That is insane. Let me let y'all hear it again. Hold on. Just now that y'all have all the context, let me let y'all hear it again. Hold up.
When I the milkshake machine is always broke.
Why you don't ask your baby daddy that? Yeah. Your baby daddy. He broke. He don't work. I thought we just keeping it real, keeping it relatable. You know, bye, 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 bye. You loving him. And by the way, bitch, what's a milkshake machine? Huh? We ain't just gonna skim past that. I heard that dumbass lisp. Sound like a fat ass snake. Quit worrying about the milkshake machine and worry about your SHs. Sit your fat ass down. You need no milkshake, no way.
Yo. I started to do the flawless victory. But, and then y'all get offended. I don't care. Ace Vane for president, baby. Ace Vane for president. So, but we have a few things that we want to break down. So, you know, when we start talking about the whole notion of first of all, before I get into that, man, any of y'all watching the basketball season? The NBA season just started like about a week ago, and man, let me tell you something. See, I wasn't really paying attention to what happened in the offseason, in the draft, and so forth. The Sixers have this kid named VJ Edgecombe, right? And I believe he's either from Ghana or Nigeria, one of the two, like, originally. And if you ever, learn his story, man, when he was on draft night, he was just crying, talking about how he was going to change his mother's life, how they had to, you know, live with a generator. And you know, it was a beautiful story. And this kid plays like a man child out there. I mean, this young boy is, and he is so tough that he and VJ Edgecombe and Tyrese Maxey have totally turned around and rebranded the whole 76ers. They've become the faces of the 76ers. Now, Joel Embiid, who former MVP, All-Star center, who's been decimated, his career has been decimated with injuries, specifically around playoff time. He is sort of like taking a back step to all of this stuff. You know, they got him on time restrictions, and so he only plays about 20 minutes a night. And he nothing after the third quarter. The Sixers have been down over 10 points in three of their first four games, right? These young boys, also with this other young guard, Quentin Grimes, they are torching. They are clutch. The Sixers are 4-0. Sixers are 4-0, and you know as we always do, you know, we give them their roses. We give everybody their roses. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, shout out to the Sixers 4-0. Now, let's see if they can continue this streak. And I don't know how the hell they're going to continue to keep coming back at down 10 points going into the fourth quarter. The NBA, I mean, this ain't yesterday's NBA, but shit, these are still, you know, world-class athletes. But anyway, you know, shout out to them. And now they have this whole thing now where they call the backcourt, you know, they give everybody nicknames. Now they call it VJ Maxx, right? It's to play off the retail store TJ Maxx. So now they call them VJ Maxx. So shout out to them, man. Shout out to those brothers. Anyway, so, you know, as we talk about, you know, relationships and the failings and so forth. And, oh, real quick, man, before I get into that, I'm sorry, I keep bouncing back. But I have an announcement to make. You know, myself, my brother Suave Gonzalez, we both, you know, work at the Community College of Philadelphia. And one of the things that we're doing this holiday season, specifically this month, upcoming month, November, but we're collecting, we're having a food drive. And we're collecting non-perishables, dry foods, canned foods, mostly, to fill up some baskets so that we can actually get the feed families that are suffering through the holidays. As you know, we're dealing with a food crisis, the government shutdown, and a lot of people are not receiving SNAP. I just read an article in Philadelphia, half a million people in Philadelphia are on SNAP benefits. That is, I did not know the number was that high. The state of Pennsylvania is 2 million, but Philadelphia itself, half a million people receive SNAP benefits. Fam, you want to see the Hunger Games? I just did this episode on that. The Hunger Games is real. It's coming now. You know what I'm saying? So we really need to be vigilant, be prepared, because as for whatever reason, when we get desperate, we become each other's victims out here in these streets. So y'all protect your necks, watch your back, watch shady individuals, because they will get you. Especially now, the times are getting hard, and they can't get at. And we already have like boatloads of women online. Unfortunately, too many black women, although they're not the only ones that receive it. Online talking about going to supermarkets and start stealing food. That's not necessarily a good idea. They're already waiting for that. And me and Suave, we have been talking to a bunch of store managers and things of that nature. They're preparing for everything. They're doing a whole sweep. They're preparing for everything they're going to have to deal with in the next few weeks, because come November 1st, all SNAP benefits are going to be, you know, discontinued until the government shutdown is over. So you're going to be at the mercy of the U.S. the House of Congress until they, you know, decide to agree on specific policies and whatever to get the ball rolling. And I don't know if they're going to get that ball rolling any soon, because they've been talking about this shutdown for over a month. They've been talking about November 1st for over a month. So they had a month to get this shit together, and they have not budged. So, and neither party, and I'm not a fan of either party, but neither party, and that represents both the Senate and the Congress, which is the House of Congress. They're not budging, fam, so I'm just giving you all the heads up. And at times like this, man, these times cause most people, there's a lot of domestic situations that are going to occur. It's bad enough this time of the year, people start facing depression. It's just this time of the year. So, for whatever reason, but you need to understand that. You need to understand that couples are going to be going through it. And a lot of couples are going to be dealing with stress and strain, because, you know, that type of thing affects everybody. That affects food pantry. 23,000 members of the armed forces also receive SNAP benefits. Many people who have full-time jobs still work under the threshold that allows them to receive SNAP benefits and so forth. And some of it's done purposely. Don't believe me. There's an interesting documentary that's been out for over a decade based on Walmart, called The High Cost of Low Prices. All right. Check that out if you want to understand how that functions. So bad to the point they had to build suicide nets in their factories in China, because people were literally jumping off the roof and jumping off the building. So Yeah, that's Wild Turkey.
Nah, damn.
So let's get into it, man. I'm gonna show you. I want y'all to listen to this clip, man. About and this is on the We Need to Talk podcast, and I forget the brother that's the host, but he his guest is Dr. Jeff Jones, and Dr. Jeff Jones is, you know, the new face on the scene. People are calling him sort of like the mild version of Kevin Samuels, because he seems to be able to he utilizes a lot of Kevin Samuels' talking points. So I want y'all to hear what he says, because he's also a licensed therapist and I believe a doctor in psychology. So I want y'all to listen to what this brother has to say, because this, you know, he's breaking down what happens when people come into his office, and when they come into his office for therapy, he's actually breaking down how the conversations typically goes when you have couples therapy. And I thought it was interesting to hear what he had to say. So let's check this out, family.
When there's a man that I'm talking to, or when men that are having issues with women, we don't spend an awful lot of time talking about women. Mm. We spend a whole lot of time talking about his shortcomings and his issues and his reasons for why he's failing the mark and picking the wrong women and choosing wrong and operating out of a space of scarcity and desperation. And I find that the people who do the best at therapy are those who take ownership of what they have control over to change the outcomes that they want. So all the women that's there, the ones that are going to fix what they're crying about right now are those that take ownership and start making drastic changes to what they have control over even now. Feminism, society, social media, their girlfriends, etc., have convinced them that they have a prize, they have a gift, and it's something that doesn't change, and it's something that doesn't need to be improved on. You're the prize. I am the table. Every mantra, every saying, every slogan is about you being a finished product and the men needing to work their way up to earning you.
And that is, unfortunately, that speaks to the crux of it all, right? Like, women really don't take any responsibility or culpability for anything that's wrong in a relationship. You know, it was funny, unless you prompt a woman on, unless you bring it up to her, and I've noticed this too. When I brought up to them, I say, so why are you single? Well, my last man didn't treat me right. Or you know, I was in a relationship, but these men just don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, so basically you're flawless. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there observing five or six red flags as we're sitting across the table from each other. And a lot of times I'm not even trying to engage these people in relationships. We're just having a conversation, just two people having a conversation. And I've never in my life, without prompting, I'm saying, heard a woman take ownership for why a relationship she was in failed. I have never heard them. I've heard men say, listen, man, I just wasn't ready. I was out there tricking, man. I was just doing the wildest. I was doing the most. Or, you know, I wasn't attentive. Like, I've heard men take ownership. Like, I wasn't ready to be a leader. I've said those things myself. You know, wrong. I shouldn't have been in a relationship. I wasn't ready. I've heard men say those things. They've taken ownership. I've not one time heard a woman initiate ownership. Then when you say, hey, damn, you know, I've never heard a woman who's been in fault. Then they'll go back and they'll sort of play revisionist history. And they'll retract some of the things. Or, you know, I could have done some things better, but never full accountability for why things didn't work out. Now, I bring this up because, you know, like I said, and this probably, I probably will do one more of these clips. I'm addicted to these Reddit clips that they play out on YouTube. I'm addicted to them. And this one is a little different, though. And I brought up the other conversation, right? Because it's always the man's fault. It's always the man's fault. And I find that that's especially true if you're becoming a stepfather. So if you're becoming a stepfather, that part, you know, is because it's risky business. And we've been warning brothers, especially within the last decade or so, you might want to reconsider it. Now, for some people, the family dynamic, it works out great. There's trust there, all this, that, and the other. And then, every once in a while, we have one of these situations. So I'm just going to let this go. And I'm going to let it go for a while before I interrupt. I might, you know, because I have a hard time shutting up. But we're going to see how much of this we can get in. Because there's a very valuable message, especially for you men who are out there trying to say, you know, falling into that trap where a woman is shaming you or saying that, you know, a real man takes on the responsibility of another man's children, which is absolute bullshit. You know, when I hear somebody like that, I'm like, ho.
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
You know, I'm not. You got me fucked up. So anyway, check this out, right? Because this is deep in terms of like how this all played out. Watch this.
Narrative.
I'd been working with a German Shepherd all afternoon, teaching bite release commands to a client who worked security downtown. The dog was smart, picked things up fast, and by the time we finished the session, both the owner and I were satisfied with the progress. I packed up my training gear, said goodbye, and headed home. It was a Tuesday, around 6 in the evening. Traffic was light, and I was looking forward to a quiet night, maybe throwing something on the grill, watching some TV. When I pulled into the driveway, I noticed my wife's car was there, along with her daughters. Nothing unusual about that. The girl was 18, still living with us while she figured out what she wanted to do after high school. I grabbed my duffel bag from the trunk and walked up to the front door. The second I stepped inside, I knew something was wrong. My wife was standing in the living room, arms crossed, face twisted in anger I'd never seen before. Her daughter was on the couch, crying, makeup running down her face. When they both looked at me, I felt the temperature in the room drop. "What's going on?" I asked, setting my bag down slowly. My wife didn't answer right away. She just stared at me, breathing hard through her nose. Then she pointed at her daughter. "Tell him what you told me," she said, voice shaking. The girl looked up at me with red, puffy eyes. "I can't believe you'd do this to me," she said between sobs. "I trusted you." I blinked, genuinely confused. "Do what? What are you talking about?" That's when my wife exploded. She started listing things. Inappropriate comments. Uncomfortable stares. Entering her daughter's room without knocking. Things that made my stomach turn just hearing them, because I knew immediately none of it was true. Not a single word. Hold.
So I just want y'all to be clear about something now. This man comes home after a hard day's work to accusations from his 18-year-old stepdaughter stating that he had been operating behaviors reminiscent of a child predator. I just want y'all to keep that in mind. All right. I just want y'all to keep that in mind. And not only a child predator, but his actual stepdaughter.
"Hold on," I said, raising my hands. "This is insane. I never did any of that. Where is this coming from? Don't you dare call her a liar," my wife screamed, stepping closer. "She came to me in tears an hour ago. She's been afraid to say anything because she didn't want to ruin our marriage, but she couldn't take it anymore." I looked at the girl, who wouldn't meet my eyes now. She just kept crying into her hands, playing the part perfectly. "This is a misunderstanding," I said, keeping my voice steady even though my heart was pounding. "We need to sit down and talk about this calmly." "There's nothing to talk about," my wife said coldly. "I want you out. Now, out. You're kicking me out of my own house over accusations you didn't even let me defend myself against." "My daughter doesn't lie to me," she said, voice like ice. "And I will always believe her over you."
That part right there. "I will always believe her over you." And fellas, how many of you have been in a relationship with women who their children, first of all, you really can't do much but sponsor their children. Let's be clear about that. You can't talk to them. And then if the children got in some type of trouble that they need to be brought out of, in other words, if they get arrested, they get in trouble at school, then you're useful. But in terms of actually offering any corrective behavior, how many times has a woman stepped in and told you that, or reminded you that this is not your child and that their child's word is more valid than yours? I want y'all to think about that for a second, because this is some of the predicaments a lot of people find themselves in. Brothers, professionals, all right? People that deal with children, work with in academic fields. These are some of the things you deal with. And it ain't even just children at this point, but check it out.
"Stood there for a moment, letting that sink in. Years of marriage, years of being a father figure to this girl, and my wife didn't even give me 5 minutes to explain. She'd already made her decision. Fine, I said quietly. I'll pack a bag. No, she said. You leave now. Take your keys and go. You can get your things later when I'm here to supervise. I looked at her daughter one more time. She was peeking through her fingers, watching me. For just a second, I saw something in her expression. Not fear. Not trauma. Something else. Satisfaction, maybe. Then she buried her face again and sobbed louder. I pulled out my phone and called my friend Garrett, someone I'd known since high school. He answered on the second ring. Hey man, I need a place to crash tonight, I said, walking toward the door. I'll explain when I get there. My wife followed me to the door. If you even think about contacting her, I'll file a restraining order, she said. Stay away from us. I turned and looked at her one last time. You're making a huge mistake, I said, but you'll figure that out eventually. I walked out, got in my truck, and drove to Garrett's apartment across town. The whole way there, my mind was racing. I wasn't angry yet. I was too shocked for that. But I knew one thing with absolute certainty. I wasn't going to beg. I wasn't going to grovel. And I definitely wasn't going to let this stand. If she wanted me gone, fine. But she was going to regret not hearing my side of the story. Because when the truth came out, and it always does, I was going to make sure there was no coming back from this. I parked outside Garrett's building and sat in the truck for a minute, staring at my phone. No calls. No texts. Nothing. She really believed I was guilty. After everything we'd been through together, she took her daughter's word without a second thought. I got out of the truck and headed upstairs. Garrett opened the door before I even knocked, concern written all over his face. What happened? He asked. Got accused of something I didn't do, I said, stepping inside. And my wife threw me out without even letting me explain. Garrett shook his head. Man, that's messed up. You need anything? Yeah, I said, pulling out my phone again. The number for a good divorce attorney. He raised his eyebrows. You sure you want to go there right away? I nodded. I've never been more sure of anything in my life. Garrett let me use his spare bedroom. No questions asked.
And that's what homies do. All right. And some of y'all, especially, you know, ladies, will look at this and say, well, I can't believe that he's taking that predator into the. This is what, you know, we don't live in a society that does not give you the right to defend yourself. Proven innocent until proven guilty. While we can acknowledge that there's some monsters out there in the world, and ironically, both male and female monsters, might I add, while we can acknowledge that, we also have to acknowledge that a lot of false accusations have been used to destroy a man's life. And specifically, even if it never goes to court, it goes to the court of public opinion. It goes to the court of family, social circles, things of that nature. And there'll always be an asterisk beside that man's name, no matter how the outcome is. That's why, fellas, you have to be careful. But thank God he has a good friend like Garrett, a good solid brother like Garrett, that's going to look out for him and help him see this thing through. So shout out to Garrett, man, you know, because this is, hey, listen, man, we don't always, you know what I'm saying? It don't always work out like that, so it don't always work out like that. So shout out to Garrett. All right, let him play on.
That first night, I barely slept. I kept replaying the scene in my head, trying to understand where it all went wrong. By morning, I had a plan. First thing I did was call a law firm downtown that a client had recommended months ago. The receptionist put me through to an attorney named Mr. Brennan. I explained the situation in detail. He listened without interrupting, which I appreciated. You need to document everything, he said. Every interaction. Every text message, every phone call. Don't delete anything. And don't contact your wife or her daughter directly. Everything goes through me from this point forward. Understood, I said. I'll need you to come in tomorrow morning. Bring any financial documents you have access to. Bank statements, tax returns, anything showing joint accounts or assets. We need to get ahead of this before she does. I spent the rest of that day gathering paperwork. Fortunately, I'd always been organized when it came to finances. I had copies of everything on my laptop. Bank statements going back 3 years. Mortgage documents. Insurance policies, tax returns. I organized it all into folders and backed everything up on a thumb drive. Then I started going through my phone, text messages with my wife, with her daughter, with friends and family. I screenshotted conversations that showed our normal family dynamic, birthday messages, casual check-ins, nothing inappropriate, nothing that could be twisted into something it wasn't. I found messages from just 2 weeks ago where the girl had asked me to help her practice for her driver's test. I'd spent an entire Saturday teaching her parallel parking in the Target lot. She'd thanked me, said I was patient and kind. I screenshotted all of it. Garrett came home from work around 5 and found me at his kitchen table, surrounded by papers and my laptop. You doing okay? He asked, grabbing a beer from the fridge. Just getting my ducks in a row? I said. Can I ask you something? Sure. You've been around us plenty of times. My wife, her daughter, me. Did you ever see anything that would make you think I was inappropriate with that girl? Garrett sat down across from me and shook his head firmly. Man, are you kidding? You treated her like your own kid. Always respectful, always appropriate. I never saw anything that raised a red flag. Would you be willing to put that in writing if it came to it? Absolutely, he said without hesitation. Whatever you need. That meant more to me than I could express. I had at least one person who'd back me up if this turned into something bigger. My phone buzzed. It was my wife. I stared at the screen for a moment, then opened the message. We need to talk about when you can get your things. I don't want you here when I'm alone. I didn't respond. Mr. Brennan had been clear. No direct contact. Instead, I forwarded the message to him with a note. She's already trying to control the narrative. He replied within minutes. Perfect. Save everything. Don't engage. The next day, I met with Mr. Brennan at his office. He was younger than I expected, maybe late 30s, but sharp as a knife. He reviewed everything I'd brought, nodding occasionally, making notes. This is good, he said. Very good. You've got a clean record here. No history of violence. No prior accusations. Steady employment. How long have you been married? For years, I said. I've known her daughter since she was 14. And in those 4 years, has the daughter ever shown signs of being manipulative? Lying to get her way? Anything like that? I thought about it. Yeah, actually. Small things. Lying about where she was going. Blaming other people when she got caught doing something wrong. My wife always made excuses for her. Said she was just being a teenager. Mr. Brennan leaned back in his chair. That's a pattern we can use. Not to attack a kid, but to establish credibility. If she has a history of dishonesty, it raises reasonable doubt about these accusations. So what's the next step? I asked. We file for divorce immediately. We don't wait for her to make the first move. We establish that you're the one taking decisive action here, not running away guilty.
And that's something that I actually learned too. Like, that don't just work here. That shit works everywhere you go. The first one, you know, you just got to be the first one. Because after that, then everything is a reaction to whoever was the first one that actually reported the situation to the proper authorities. And listen, sometimes you got to do that because you got to protect yourself, man. You got to protect yourself. So, and shout out to this dude for not sitting around, not trying to play the game where he's going to prove it to, you know, his former significant other, as you can see, that he's going to actually try to make things right between her and her daughter. When somebody shows you who they are, you believe them the first time. There's no going back.
We also make it clear that you're open to any investigation if she wants to pursue legal charges, because you have nothing to hide. She threatened a restraining order. I said, let her file for one. She won't have any evidence to support it, and it'll backfire on her. But in the meantime, you stay away. Don't go to the house. Don't contact her or the daughter. Let me handle all communication. I signed the retainer agreement right there. Mr. Brennan said he'd have the divorce papers drafted within a week. Over the next few days, my wife tried calling and texting multiple times. I ignored every single one. I knew it was driving her crazy, but I didn't care. She'd made her choice. Now she had to live with it. I focused on work.
That's another thing. Too many times, fellas, we get caught up in our feelings and we want to get into the back and forth. There is no back and forth. Once that situation is what it is, you allow the proper, the proper office or the proper people to handle the communications. You go radio silent. Don't respond to anything. And if you feel like you're easily triggered, don't even read shit that was sent to you. All right. We have got to get more focused in handling our business out here, man. All right.
My clients didn't care about my personal drama. They cared about their dogs, and I was good at what I did. Training kept me grounded. There's something about working with animals that clears your head. They don't judge. They don't lie. They just respond to consistency and clear communication. One of my regular clients, a woman named Violet who had a hyperactive Labrador, asked if I was doing okay. I must have looked tired. Just going through some stuff at home. I said, keeping it vague. Well, you're still the best trainer in town, she said with a smile. Whatever it is, I hope it works out. Thanks, I said. I appreciate that. 2 weeks in, Garrett asked me if I'd heard from my wife. She's been texting, I said, but I'm not responding. My attorney said to let him handle everything. That's probably smart, Garrett said. But man, she's got to be losing her mind wondering what you're doing. Good, I said. Let her wonder. 3 weeks after I'd been kicked out, my phone rang. It was my wife. I almost declined the call, but something made me answer. Hello, I said, keeping my voice neutral. It's me, she said. There was a pause. I think we need to talk. About what? About you coming home. About us working through this. I almost laughed. Working through what, exactly? You threw me out based on lies. You didn't give me a chance to defend myself. What's changed? I just think, she said slowly, like she was choosing her words carefully, that maybe you've had some time to reflect on your behavior. And if you're ready to apologize...
My bad. So, and as y'all can see, even his emotions kicked in, because he wasn't supposed to answer the goddamn phone. Man, don't answer the phone. How many times you got to tell you, Don't answer the phone. You are going to get the... All right, we don't play that shit over here.
Apologize and commit to counseling. We can move forward. There it was. She thought she'd broken me. She thought 3 weeks of silence meant I was desperate to come crawling back. You want me to apologize, I said. Yes, to both of us. And we need to set boundaries going forward. I smiled, even though she couldn't see it. Okay, I said. Let's meet in person. Tomorrow. I'll come by the house. Really? She sounded surprised, relieved even. Yeah, we should handle this face to face. Okay, she said, her voice softening. What time? How about 2 p.m? That works. I'll be here. I hung up and immediately called Mr. Brennan. The papers ready? I asked. Signed and notarized. You sure you want to do this? Absolutely, I said. She thinks I'm coming back to apologize. Instead, I'm showing up with you and a divorce petition. Mr. Brennan chuckled darkly. I'll meet you there at 1:45. This should be interesting. I met Mr. Brennan at a coffee shop 2 blocks from the house. He was already there, sitting in his car with a leather briefcase on the passenger seat. I pulled up next to him and got out. You ready for this? He asked, stepping out of his vehicle. More than ready, I said. We walked to the house together. It felt strange approaching my own front door like this, like I was visiting a place I used to know. Mr. Brennan carried the briefcase casually, like we were just two guys stopping by for a chat. I rang the doorbell. Didn't feel right using my key anymore. My wife answered almost immediately. She'd clearly been waiting. Her face was made up, hair done. She was smiling when she opened the door, but the smile died the second she saw the man standing next to me. Who's this? She asked, voice suddenly cautious. This is my attorney, I said calmly. Mr. Brennan, can we come in? Her face went pale. Your attorney? What are you talking about? I thought we were going to talk. We are talking, I said. Can we come in, or do you want to do this on the porch? She stepped back, confused and clearly thrown off balance. We walked into the living room. Her daughter was sitting on the couch, scrolling through her phone. When she looked up and saw me with a lawyer, her eyes went wide. What's going on? My wife asked, crossing her arms defensively. Mr. Brennan opened his briefcase and pulled out a manila envelope. He handed it to her professionally. No drama, no theatrics. These are divorce papers, he said. You're being served. Everything you need to know is in there, including the court date and how to respond if you choose to contest. My wife stared at the envelope like it was a snake. Divorce? Are you serious right now? Completely serious, I said. You made your decision 3 weeks ago when you threw me out without even hearing my side. I'm just making mine now.
Damn it, I keep hitting this. Listen, now I will give him credit for that, that the fact that he did come back with the lawyer. That was a power move, all right? And legal representation matters. Fellas, we really need to invest in that. A lot of y'all are going through whole situations. I know people going through divorces that are spanning into the years because their wives simply refused to sign the goddamn papers. And then in addition to that, I know people who, you want to talk about brother going through situations with child support and custody battles in family court, and they still don't get a lawyer. Now listen, fellas, let's just keep it real. Let's keep it 100 right now. Let's keep it a bing. You got the money for a lawyer. I don't want to hear that you ain't got the money for a lawyer when I see you at the basketball games, when I see you with the freshest kicks, when I see you in the nicest cars. You got the money for the lawyer. Make that small, quick sacrifice and stop procrastinating on your future. Silly.
But I called you to work things out, she said, voice rising. I was willing to forgive you if you apologized. Forgive me, I said, keeping my tone level. For what exactly? For something I didn't do? You believed lies without a single shred of evidence. You destroyed our marriage the second you chose her word over mine without even asking questions. Her daughter stood up from the couch, phone clutched in her hand. Mom, I told you what happened. Why is he acting like the victim here? I didn't even look at her. I kept my eyes on my wife. Here's what's going to happen, I said. You're going to read those papers. You're going to contact your own attorney if you want to fight this. But I'm done. I'm not coming back. I'm not apologizing for something I didn't do. And I'm definitely not spending another second in a marriage where I'm guilty until proven innocent. You can't just leave, my wife said, her voice breaking. We've been together for 4 years. We have a life together. Had a life? I corrected. You ended it when you kicked me out. I'm just finishing what you started. Mr. Brennan cleared his throat. The papers outlined the division of assets. Since the house was purchased before the marriage and remains in your name, my client is not pursuing any claim to it. However, joint accounts will need to be divided, and any shared assets will be addressed through mediation or court, depending on your level of cooperation. My wife looked at him, then at me, then back at the envelope in her hands. This is insane. You're throwing away our marriage because of one fight. One fight, I said, and for the first time, I let some emotion show. You accuse me of being a predator. You kick me out of my home. You threaten me with a restraining order. That's not a fight. That's character assassination.
And don't fall, and fellas, don't fall for this level of gaslighting, okay? Trying to minimize the damage that they incurred, that you incurred, based on a bomb, a Scud missile she done launched in your backyard. And no. We're not doing that. We're not going to allow you to downplay the seriousness, the serious nature of those accusations, which can ruin that man's life. It can ruin that. Listen, yo, this is just another example of
the hunt is on. And you're the prey.
And in terms of fault, blame.
Then it's it. I'm done. I'm done with life. And it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
All right. Let us proceed. But don't ever let nobody gaslight you into believing that you're overreacting, that you're being dramatic about a situation that could literally cause a major detour in any future you have going forward. This thing, if it gets big enough, could have actually led to criminal charges and that man spending time in jail. We don't take shit like this lightly. All right. She expects him to come back like.
What more do you want from me?
And he came back like,
me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
Let us proceed.
And you did it without hesitation. Her daughter suddenly burst into tears. This is all my fault, she sobbed. But something about it felt performative. I didn't think you'd leave. I didn't think it would go this far. I finally looked at her. You didn't think at all, I said coldly. But that's not my problem anymore. My wife put a hand on her daughter's shoulder, still holding the envelope with the other. Can we please just talk about this privately? She asked, looking at Mr. Brennan. Without him here? No, I said before he could answer. Anything you need to say to me goes through him now. That's how this works. You're really going to do this? She asked, tears starting to form in her eyes. You're going to destroy our family. I didn't destroy anything, I said. You did that all by yourself. Mr. Brennan closed his briefcase. If you have any questions about the documents, you can contact my office. The number's on the card inside the envelope. I'd recommend getting your own legal representation as soon as possible. We turned to leave. My wife called after me. Wait, just wait a second. I stopped at the door, but didn't turn around. Is there anything I can say to change your mind? She asked, voice desperate now. No, I said simply. There isn't. I walked out with Mr. Brennan right behind me. We got to our vehicles without saying a word. Once we were both inside our cars, he rolled down his window. That went exactly as expected, he said. She'll probably try to contact you directly. Don't respond. Let her sit with this for a while. I won't, I said. Thanks for being here. That's what you pay me for, he said with a slight smile. I'll be in touch. I drove back to Garrett's place. My hands were steady on the wheel. No shaking, no second guessing. I'd done what needed to be done. When I walked into the apartment, Garrett looked up from the couch. How'd it go? She didn't see it coming, I said, grabbing a water from the fridge. Thought I was showing up to beg for forgiveness. And instead you showed up with divorce papers, Garrett said, shaking his head. Man, I almost feel bad for her. Don't, I said, sitting down in the chair across from him. She made her bed. Now she gets to sleep in it. My phone started buzzing almost immediately. Texts from my wife. Then calls. I silenced it and set it face down on the table. She's going to lose her mind over this, Garrett said. Probably, I said. But that's not my concern anymore. And for the first time in 3 weeks, I actually felt like I could breathe. The calls and texts didn't stop. Over the next 2 days, my phone lit up constantly. My wife, her friends, even her sister tried reaching out. I blocked the sister's number after she sent me a long message about how I was abandoning the family. Mr. Brennan had been clear. No engagement. Let them spiral. On the third day after serving the papers, I was at a client's house working with a Belgian Malinois when my phone rang. It was Mr. Brennan. Got a minute? He asked. Yeah, just finish.
Oh, and before we get into that next part, I want to point out something else too. Through the whole time that the wife is calling about him leaving and abandoning the family, things of that nature, not one time did she ever say, prior to this part of the story, maybe, just maybe, there may be something to, you know, the fact that you, the accusation is being false. That maybe. Even the sister's calling, you're abandoning the family. You heard the conditions he would have had to come back to. They were literally going to box him in. There's going to be boundaries. You're just going to be, things are going to be different around here when you come back. And it don't sound like it was too good when he was there. Fellas, don't go back to a sinking ship. All right.
Finished the session. What's up? Your wife's attorney contacted me. She wants to arrange a meeting. Says it's urgent, and she's willing to discuss settlement terms. I leaned against my truck. Already? I figured she'd drag this out. So did I, he said. But apparently something happened. She sounded desperate on the voicemail her attorney left. Mentioned something about new information. What kind of information? Didn't say, but she wants to meet tomorrow morning. Are you available? I'll make myself available, I said. Where? My office. 10 a.m. I'll handle most of the talking, but you need to be there. I showed up 15 minutes early the next morning. Mr. Brennan was already in the conference room, reviewing notes. He looked up when I walked in. Fair warning, he said. She might try to use emotions to sway you. Stay focused on the facts. I'm not changing my mind, I said. Good, because whatever she's about to say, it doesn't change what she did to you. At exactly 10 o'clock, my wife walked in with her attorney, a middle-aged woman in a navy suit who introduced herself as...
Hold on. I can't let that moment go by without addressing it. Yo, that lawyer's red pill. Let me tell you, that lawyer was like...
Men of the West stand fierce and unyielding, holding the line today as our fathers did, with iron will and hearts of fire.
Ms. Whitaker. My wife looked terrible, eyes red and puffy, no makeup, hair pulled back in a messy ponytail. She wouldn't look directly at me. We all sat down. Ms. Whitaker opened a folder and started with standard legal language about mediation and settlement discussions. Then she paused and looked at my wife. My client has something she'd like to say, Ms. Whitaker said, and I've advised her that this conversation is off the record for now. My wife finally looked up at me. Her hands were shaking. I made a terrible mistake, she said, voice barely above a whisper. The biggest mistake of my life. I didn't respond. Just waited. My daughter, she continued, struggling to get the words out. She lied. About everything. She admitted it yesterday. The room went completely silent. Even Mr. Brennan, who rarely showed surprise, raised his eyebrows. She lied, I said slowly. My wife nodded, tears streaming down her face now. She broke down 2 nights ago, after you left with the divorce papers. She couldn't handle the guilt anymore. She told me the truth. None of it happened. She made it all up. Why? I asked, keeping my voice flat. Because she wanted her actual father back, my wife said, choking on the words. She thought if she got rid of you, I'd go back to him. She actually believed...
My bad. I keep hitting this damn space bar thinking of hitting the unmute button. So that's what happened. That the girl came forward and lied. And we know this happens a lot, right? We know this happens a lot. And you'd be surprised sometimes as how much of this is sometimes is coerced by the actual mothers, because they understand that they can weaponize the police. Dr. Tiasan Johnson calls it blue leashing, and it's the utilization of some sort of authoritative force, be it police or otherwise, that are typically there to put a black man in his place, and that have the authority and the ability to put black men in their place. Well, this is not, we don't know whether or not this is a black family or not, because it's just reading off the reading off storyline. This is story time. But we do know that as black men, we become the victims of this more than anybody else. And these accusations, we are already guilty before being proven innocent. But in terms of that little, in terms of the daughter, this is what should have happened. She shouldn't have had the opportunity to announce her treachery in third party. She should have been up front so she can...
Shame. 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 Shame.
Yeah, that should have been, because we need to bring shame back to society. So I'm going to let the proceedings go on for a few more minutes before we actually, wrap this one up. But I just wanted you, because fellas, far too many of you stick around or try to prove your innocence, and you try to make a case when it's damn near impossible. The first time somebody makes an accusation like that with you, you address it affirmatively. You categorically deny those things, especially if you didn't do it. Especially if you didn't do it and there's no evidence or proof to the contrary. And push come to shove, if you're in a situation like this, you go get some legal help. All right? Fellas, you got to stop playing around. Ain't no time to be... This is no effing around no more. These days and times, people are serious, they're getting drastic and desperate. And also, we also know hell have no fury like a woman scorned. So we already know what that means in our neck of the woods.
Believe that removing you from the picture would fix our broken family. She's 18, but she's still so immature. She didn't think about the consequences. She just... Stop, I said, holding up a hand. I don't want to hear excuses for her. She's 18 years old. She knew exactly what she was doing. My wife buried her face in her hands. Ms. Whitaker handed her a tissue. My client understands the severity of what occurred, Ms. Whitaker said carefully, and she's prepared to make a statement to that effect if needed. The daughter has also agreed to write a formal retraction. That's great, I said, leaning back in my chair. But it doesn't change anything.
Damn right. And a lot of times the damage is done. It's like taking a machete and slicing somebody across their midsection, their guts and everything and falling out. And then saying, well, listen, I'm going to help you put your guts back in the stomach, you know, back, but, you know, your intestines and everything. I'm going to help you stuff it back in. Hold the fuck up. This is going to mess me up for the rest of my life. The stain of that. And then we're not even talking about the therapy this man is going to need after this to just move forward. And I'm not sure how much of these stories are embellished or whatever, but this stuff happens in real life. We don't know whether or not this man is going to be able to get back to normal and then function. I mean, you know, most of these stories are the story times to have a happy, you know, typically have a happy ending. But that doesn't change the fact that a lot of men go through these things and suffer in silence. And then eventually you just don't know why, but all of a sudden that man just ends up taking his life. Men, twice as much. Now something, I think something to the effect of 4 times more successful at suicide than women. Women attempt more suicides, but men use more lethal methods in committing suicide. And when you talk to men, this is why a lot of men are opting out. This is why a lot of men are going their own way. You know, so, long story short, he got the divorce. He moved on with his life. And, hold on, man. He got to move on with his life. So he's not dealing with this no more. And, you know, he's moved on with his career and got his own place. And that's how this ends happily ever after for him. With the wife, her life's in shambles, and the daughters. And it typically ends up with these stories. These are the cautionary tales, right? So when you start talking about the whole notion of becoming a stepfather, this is why most men are not even doing it anymore. I've been in relationships with women who have had practically grown daughters. And you know what the crazy part about it? Their daughters will walk around the house. And these, you know, a girl's body is fully developed at like the age of 15 and 16, right? These girls are walking around the house in boy shorts and sports bras. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? And you know, just operating like there's nobody else there. And I'm looking at the mom and she's just having a conversation with her, this, that. And this ain't just one situation. Several. I'm thinking to myself, yo, once I get out, I'm not coming back here no more. Like, but this is why you just don't do it. Just avoid the whole, avoid the whole situation. Because, fellas, we're not being taken, there's no consideration taken for us. You assume all of the responsibility, all of the liability, but very, very little of the rewards that is supposed to come from being in a situation. Black, you know, there was a time when stepfathers were championed in the black community because there were so many out of wedlock children, right? And there still are. But there was, you know, a man would come in, he righting the ship. I mean, we all saw Claudine. James Earl Jones came in, tried to right in the ship. But it was just too much shit going on. He get chased out the house by, you know, social workers. Who was literally doing bean counting for the welfare, things of that nature, all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, the arguments with Diane Carroll back and forth, he just got tired of that shit and left. And I don't blame him. And most brothers nowadays, listen, men are opting out of dating, period. They're opting out of dating, period. And a lot of it is because self-preservation has become the rule of the law. And The safest way to operate in a world and a time of society that does not hold women accountable for their actions, that actually, you know, you have too many people out here. Too many people out here that will not. Not only will they not hold women accountable for the damage that they've done to men, because men get held accountable. We get held accountable for things we don't do. But then you also have the situation where they pander. And let me ask you something. If somebody sees you walking and they know that you're about to head into an alleyway that's dead end alleyway, flickering lights, crime is known to happen in this alley, and they see you, you're oblivious to it all, but you're headed that way because you think it's a shortcut. And they say, well, go on in, you know, you should find your way home. I support you. You can fuck around, go in there and get hurt. Was that person really supporting you? Is that person really looking out for your best interest? I don't know, I could have used a different analogy, but I think we all get the point. You're out there getting high, drinking and driving, and somebody encourages you to take another drink because they don't have the guts to say, hey, 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 we're cutting you off for the night. No, somebody take the keys and motherfucker, you ain't driving nowhere. No, somebody give you the keys and you wrap yourself around a tree. Or even worse, you go out and kill and hit somebody else's car and kill everybody else in the other car. That shit has happened. Closely. And I'm talking about close situations. Like my nephew. Thank God for COVID-19. And I know most people don't even understand why I said that. My nephew was supposed to go out to a party with his friends. They stopped by to pick him up. He had COVID, so he couldn't go out. His friends end up getting hit by a drunk driver right after they left his house. Well, not right after they left his house, but after they went out. He got hit by, like, three of the people in the car died. There was like one survivor. So instead of them having a good time, people are preparing for funerals. Now, who let that man get in the car? Who was not brave enough to tell that man, yo, you shouldn't be drinking and driving? He's in jail now, and those kids are dead. So this is what I'm talking about when you're talking about pandering and not telling people the truth. Wrong people should be able to handle the truth. Grown people should be able to handle straight talk. And this is why I say, you know, this is why I tell these cautionary tales here. And this is why I'm not afraid to be the bad guy. As I'd rather be the bad guy, you mad at me, but at least what I say, I'm going to plant some seeds that's going to have you thinking. You're going to have second thoughts about some dumb shit you're about to do because you heard me. And the last thing you want to, because listen, I will have you.
Shame. 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 Shame.
I will have you moving like that, fam. I don't give a damn. I care too much about you to allow you to ruin yourself. I'd rather you be mad at me the rest of your life, but you live the rest of your life. And you do so in a productive way, and you avoid as many pitfalls as you possibly can. I'll be perfectly fine with it. Hey, you know, he ain't speaking to you. That's all right. He all right. He'll be all right. She ain't, you know, she can't stand you. Yeah, I know. But you see, she didn't go home with that dude at the bar that night. Yeah. See? Okay. So anyway, family. Time for me to say goodbye to all my Negro friends and non-Negroes, whoever's listening. and hope you all are well. You know, your brother's getting stronger, as you can tell. And as we always say, family, protect your neck. War and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.